This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to move beyond the icebreaker gracefully. Turn that awkward opening moment into a real conversation. In short, moving beyond the icebreaker is the skill that turns a warm-up into real connection. Most people stop when the prompt is answered. The ones who communicate well know how to take that first response and build something from it, a question, a link, a moment of genuine exchange. An icebreaker opens a door. You still have to walk through it. The transition from prompt to real conversation requires a deliberate verbal move. This process works whether you're running a meeting, joining a new team, or starting a difficult conversation. Definition: beyond the icebreaker refers to the deliberate transition from a structured opening prompt into genuine, unscripted conversation. It is the skill of taking a warm-up response and using it as a bridge to real dialogue, deeper rapport, and authentic connection between people. I have watched this happen more times than I can count. A facilitator asks a perfectly good icebreaker question. The room answers. Smiles go around. There is a brief, warm hum of connection. Then the facilitator says, "Great, right, let's move on," and every drop of that warmth evaporates. The meeting proceeds as if the last 3 minutes never happened. The people in the room had just been given a door and nobody walked through it. Moving beyond the icebreaker is where most people stall. Not because they lack warmth or interest, but because they have no clear method for what to do next. The icebreaker gives you raw material. This article gives you the process to use it. Why the gap after an icebreaker feels so awkward. There is a specific kind of silence that follows an icebreaker. It is not the comfortable silence of people thinking. It is the silence of people waiting for someone else to decide what happens next. The icebreaker creates a moment of shared vulnerability. Someone has just said something personal, or at least semi-personal. Now the room holds that disclosure without knowing what to do with it. If you move straight to the agenda, you signal that what was shared did not matter. If you pause too long without direction, the energy drains out. Here is the truth of it. The icebreaker itself is the easy part. Somebody designed it. It has a prompt, a structure, a clear ending point. The hard part is the 30 seconds after the last person answers, when the structure falls away and you have to make a human decision about where to go. If you have ever run effective icebreakers for team meetings and still felt something was missing, this is what was missing. What do you need before you take that first step? Before you can move beyond the icebreaker gracefully, two things need to be in place. First, you need to have actually listened during the icebreaker itself. This sounds obvious. It is not. Most people spend the icebreaker round preparing their own answer. They miss what others say. If you arrive at the end of the prompt with nothing in your hands, you cannot build anything from it. Second, you need to decide in advance that you're going to make the transition, not after the icebreaker ends. Before it begins, commit to the move before the moment arrives, and you will not freeze when it does. A step-by-step process for moving the conversation forward. This is the core of what I have learned. 6 tests. Each one is specific and doable. Number 1. Listen for one response worth building on. You do not need to build on everything everyone said. You need one thread. While the icebreaker runs, listen for a response that surprised you, or that connect to the purpose of the meeting, or that you genuinely want to know more about. One is enough. Number 2. Mirror what you heard before you ask anything. Do not jump straight to a question. First, reflect back what you heard. This shows the person they were actually listened to, and it gives the room a moment to settle. Say something like, "Sarah, you said you've been working on something you've never tried before. I want to hold on to that for a moment." You are not analysing it. You are naming it. Number 3. Ask one open follow-up question. One question, not two. Open-ended, not closed. The follow-up question is your verbal bridge from the icebreaker into real conversation. Try, "What made you choose that?" Or, "What has that been like so far?" Or, "Can you say a little more about what you meant?" Closed questions kill momentum here. "Did you enjoy it?" Gets a yes or a no, and you are back where you started. Number 4. Give the answer space. When the person responds, resist the urge to comment immediately. Let the answer land. A second or two of quiet after someone speaks is not failure. It is respect. It signals that what they said was worth sitting with. Number 5. Create a brief chain of exchange. After the first follow-up, invite one other person to connect with what was said. This does not need to be elaborate. Does that resonate with anyone else here? Or James, I know you've been working through something similar recently. You're building a short thread of exchange, not running a second icebreaker. Two or three voices is enough. Number six, name the link to what comes next. Before you move to the agenda, draw a clear line between what was just shared and the work ahead. This is the move that most people skip, and it is the one that makes everything feel intentional rather than accidental. Say something like, what I'm hearing is that a few of us are navigating something unfamiliar right now. That feels like exactly the right headspace for what we're about to work on together. This single sentence does three things. It honours what was shared, it creates group coherence, and it opens the meeting on solid ground. For more on how this connects to the role of communication in meeting success, that fuller picture is worth reading alongside this process. Adapting this process for remote meetings. Remote meetings add a layer of difficulty that in-person settings do not carry. You cannot read the room the same way. Eye contact is ambiguous. Silence feels longer over a video call than it does in a physical space. The process above holds. The adaptation is about precision. In a remote setting, name the person before you ask anything. Do not leave your follow-up question floating. I want to go back to what Meyer shared works. Does anyone want to add to that? Does not. Ambiguity on a video call produces paralysis, not conversation. Use the mirroring step more explicitly. On a call, people cannot see you nodding. Say aloud what you noticed. Meyer, you mentioned this felt like a turning point. That caught my attention. Then ask your question. The extra step takes 5 seconds, and it lands far better than silence and a vague prompt. For more guidance on keeping exchange alive when your team is distributed, the article on how to maintain connection in remote work environments covers that ground well. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong after the icebreaker. I have made most of these mistakes myself. They are worth naming clearly. The mistake: moving straight to the agenda the moment the last person finishes. Why it happens: the facilitator feels relief that the icebreaker is done and wants to get to real work. What to do instead? Treat the transition as part of the agenda. Build it in. Allow 90 seconds for it. The mistake: asking a follow-up question that is really a closed question in disguise. Why it happens: we default to yes/no questions when we are nervous. What to do instead? Prepare your follow-up question before the meeting. Write it down. What has that been like? Rather than was that hard? The mistake: picking the loudest or most senior person's response to build on. Why it happens: their answers feel safe. They are easy to follow up on. What to do instead? Pick the response that was most genuine, even if it came from a quieter voice. This signals to the room that participation matters. It also helps when you're thinking about how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion. The mistake: turning the follow-up into a performance rather than a conversation. Why it happens: the facilitator is trying too hard to be interesting. What to do instead? Stay curious. Your job at this moment is to be interested, not interesting. Ask because you actually want to know. The mistake: skipping the link to what comes next. Why it happens: it feels contrived or forced. What to do instead? Practice the phrasing until it feels natural. What I'm hearing connects directly to is a clean, honest construction that never sounds manufactured if you mean it. This same principle applies when you need to run productive meetings that don't waste time. Your pre-meeting transition checklist. Use this before any meeting where you plan to run an icebreaker. Print it. Read it. Take 90 seconds with it. I have chosen an icebreaker question that will produce responses worth building on. I have decided in advance that I will make the transition, not skip it. I have prepared one open-ended follow-up question I can use if needed. I know how I will mirror a response before I ask my follow-up. I have a sentence ready to link what people share to the work ahead. I will not move to the agenda until the brief chain of exchange has happened. In a remote call, I will name the person by name before asking anything of the group. That is the whole checklist. 7 lines. If you can tick every one of those before you start, you're prepared. When the mood needs extra care. There are meetings where the icebreaker lands in a room carrying tension. A difficult decision is coming. People are frustrated. The small talk feels thin against a backdrop of real strain. In those moments, the process above still applies. What changes is your tone. The mirroring step becomes more important, not less. When a room is tense, people need to feel heard before they can move. Do not rush the transition. Let it breathe. If humour was part of the icebreaker, be careful here. Levity can soften a room, but it can also trivialise real concerns. For a fuller treatment of that balance, the piece on how humour can ease workplace tension is worth your time. And if the tension has already escalated into open conflict, the process for how to de-escalate arguments during meetings covers the territory directly. Frequently asked questions. What does moving beyond the icebreaker mean? Moving beyond the icebreaker means taking the brief, structured opening of a conversation and steering it into genuine exchange. It is the shift from a prompted question to real dialogue, where people speak freely, listen properly, and build actual connection rather than answering on cue. Why do icebreakers often fail to start real conversation? Icebreakers fail because they create a moment of warmth with no path forward. Once everyone has answered the prompt, silence fills the gap. Without a deliberate transition, people return to safe, surface-level talk or wait for the meeting agenda to rescue them. How do you transition beyond the icebreaker in a team meeting? Pick one response from the group and ask a genuine follow-up question before moving on. Name what you heard, link it to the work ahead, and invite the group to carry that thread forward. This takes less than 90 seconds and changes the whole tone of the meeting. What is a good follow-up question after an icebreaker? The best follow-up questions are open-ended and build on what someone just shared. Try, "What made you choose that?" Or, "That is interesting. Can you say more?" These invite people to go deeper rather than simply confirming they heard the prompt and answered it. How do you move beyond the icebreaker in a remote meeting? In remote meetings, name a specific person before asking your follow-up question. Ambiguity kills momentum online. Say the person's name, mirror what they shared, and ask one open question. Then invite one other participant to respond. This creates a short chain of real exchange before the agenda begins. What mistakes do people make when trying to move past icebreakers? The most common mistakes are moving on too quickly, asking closed follow-up questions, and treating the icebreaker as a checkbox rather than a starting point. Each of these breaks momentum. The fix is to pause, mirror what someone said, and ask one genuine open question before advancing. The icebreaker is not the destination. It is the first few steps on a path that you have to choose to walk. Moving beyond the icebreaker gracefully is a skill you can build with preparation, practice, and the willingness to stay in the room a little longer than feels comfortable. The connection that comes from that extra 90 seconds is real, and it is worth earning. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.